Yeah. Hi, can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
Oh,
good.
we can see you as well
All right.
now.
Well, thankfully, I've just got a camera to look at, so yeah, what I wanted to do this morning, I'm going to share what the Lord's put on my heart. And then we're going to go into a lovely time of sort of intentional devotional worship, coming from really what he's been saying to me. So it might feel a little bit strange because some of the songs I'm going to be bringing are songs that the Lord has given me in the secret place with him. They're very, very sort of intimate devotional cries of the heart, really. But I just think it would be lovely to for us all to just to rest, to come to a place of resting in his presence. And even if you don't know the songs, which you won't, just to be able to embrace the heart cry of what you hear, really, and just to be able to just come into that beautiful place of his presence and keep your gaze and your eyes so fixed on Jesus. The scripture we're going to be looking at is Luke chapter 10, starting from verse 38. Graham's going to read it for me.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Thanks, Graham. I absolutely love this story. And I love the posture of Mary, just sitting at Jesus' feet. Just gazing at him, not wanting to do anything else, just sat and gazing at the one that she loves. And for me, that is such a picture of us as the bride of Christ, of this picture of absolute devotion, of a heart. Sorry, I get very emotional when I talk about this. Of a heart that is so in love with Jesus. I get so moved because through over the years, Jesus is doing this with all of us. The Lord is doing this with every one of us. He is forming us into his bride. He is wooing us all the time, into that beautiful place of his presence, into that secret place where it is just us and him, sitting at his feet, just listening to him, learning from him, hearing what he has to say, and receiving his love, and just being built up in him. And this is what he's doing. And as we go through our Christian life and our walk with the Lord, he is maturing us even more, and more we're becoming this beautiful bride of his. This pure and spotless bride. And then I look at Martha, and it's like me right at the beginning, after I was saved, and I hadn't really begun to see myself as who I really am. I'd received the Lord as my Lord and Saviour, but it was the beginning of this beautiful journey that he took me on, and he's taking every one of us From that point where we received him, where we really welcomed him and declared him Lord of our lives. So it reminded me, actually, of the Lord sort of took me back on my own journey, back to the sort of the very beginning, actually, how he's been wooing me, how he's been revealing himself to me. And I remember when I was very little, back in the days in Malawi, as a very young child, and I had a fascination with Jesus even then. My parents weren't Christians. My father was an atheist, and my mum did certainly had a faith, but it was a very private faith, and she really did believe in God, but it was very, very private, and not really something we ever talked about. But every Christmas Eve, for some reason, I don't know whether she ever spoke to me about it, I'm sure she probably did, but every Christmas Eve, I had this incredible excitement, and it was all because of Jesus. I wasn't excited about Christmas and the fact that I'm going to get presents the next day. I went to bed, and I remember very little, but I was so little, and I all I could think about was Jesus. Like, this night, Jesus is going to be born. And it was such a very big thing for me as a child. And it only ever really happened Christmas Eve. I just had this fascination and this incredible excitement for Jesus. So that was way, way back. And he didn't really figure much, really, in my day-to-day life. I would talk to him. I would pray if something awful was happening. I'd ask, and I would sort of ask for him to help. But then wind forward till 1985, when I was at university, and I went to a evangelistic meeting run by the Christian Union. Yeah, the Christian Union. I remember the word that was being preached that night. And it was a chap called Lowell Shepherd, and he preached on Matthew 22, verse 37, loving the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then, of course, in Deuteronomy, it also says, and with all your strength. But that scripture got a hold of me, and I'd never really read the Bible before. And this was, for me, it seemed like just a random thing. I went to this meeting, but that scripture really got a hold of me. He also preached the gospel, and I was able to really identify with what Jesus did on the cross for me. But that scripture, it really got hold of me, and something was established right inside of me, about loving the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And that night, obviously, I gave my heart to the Lord. And my world was completely changed, completely rocked. Because from the onset that the Lord put within me, which I'm so in awe of and so grateful for, he placed and established inside me very deep this knowing that his word is the truth. Above all else, his word is the truth. And when he speaks and he requires something of us, we do it. And I was such a baby Christian, and I had no previous knowledge, really, of the Bible. And yet this really got hold of me and got my attention. And the amazing thing is, I look back, it is absolutely amazing. At that time, I was engaged to be married to Graham that year. We were going to be married in the September. This was February 1985. I knew, because I started reading the Bible, and I found in 2 Corinthians 6, I think it's verse 14, where it talks about not being yoked with unbelievers. And I knew, I just knew that I couldn't marry him. Because if I did, it would be going against what the Lord says in his word. I mean, it is actually quite amazing because I was such a new believer. You know, I had very little previous sort of experience of the Bible. And yet he's, you know, he planted that inside me and I knew what I had to do. And then, you know, looking back, that was a sacrifice because I broke off my engagement with Graham. That was a massive sacrifice. And if anybody else, you know, if everyone knows my story, our story, 2 weeks later, Graham himself, it's a long story, but Graham himself came into the kingdom and our engagement was back on again. But I'm sort of looking in terms of how the Lord is, he prepares us from the very, very beginning, way back. He reveals himself. He takes us on this journey of making himself known and revealing his heart for us and revealing our identity and who we are. And that sacrifice that I made, which I just think is incredible. I look back and I think, wow, how did I know? And of course it was by revelation. It was because God put that truth way back then in my heart that I had to obey. Not because, you know, because I felt forced to, it's because it was just a no-brainer really. You know, this is what you do next. But sacrifice is such a part, massive part of this preparation of us as his bride. He requires that sacrificial love and that sacrificial obedience in our lives. And I look back at the things in the past, like Martha. She was distracted by many things, and because of these things that she was really tied up in her thoughts and this busyness, she didn't really, you know, see the fact that Jesus, this beautiful Jesus, was there in her home, and you know, all this busyness and all this preparation does not matter when you've got the King of Kings in your home. But you see, she herself had to go through this time of letting go of distractions, letting go of things that for her were more important. And I look at my life, and things, the pruning that has had to happen in my life, and the sacrifice that has had to take place in order for me to come deeper in, and just more in love with Jesus. I used to be totally obsessed with horses, and for a long period of time we had two horses, and various others that came and went, but my life was totally taken up with looking after these horses, with riding them, with mucking out stables. This was a massive part of my life, but because that's all I ever thought about. I mean, obviously I loved the Lord and I would pray, but I think because they had become such a big thing in my life, that they were like an idol really, because that was my distraction. It's what I thought about, and I used to think, oh, I want to do this, I want to do dressage with them, and you know, all these plans I had tied up with horses. But again, it's a distraction, takes my eyes off the Lord. And I wasn't fulfilling really what he would want me to be doing with my life. But there was a season, and it came to an end, came to quite an abrupt end. And there was a lot of pain, an awful lot of pain, because it was a life I absolutely loved. And I still love horses. But I had to acknowledge actually that they had become idols in my life. That they had taken such a high place. They'd taken a high place in my thinking, in my heart. And I went through the pain of losing them, because several of them had to be put down at various stages, and it was really raw, very, very difficult. But it was just beautiful how the Lord took me through that time, And he was so kind, even though I was angry at the time. I was very angry with him. I blamed him a lot of the time for taking my horses away. But I came to understand that he is Lord of all. He's Lord of my life. And I mustn't, you know, none of us should place anything or anyone in that place, that high place, that demands our affections and our attention. So yeah, that season came to an end, and it was good because it was just before Graham and I were placed in this position of leading Oasis. Going back to the whole area, the whole sort of subject of sacrifice. Matthew 10, verse 37. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." And these words have really, really affected me, especially in recent years, because I think all of us have a tendency, especially with family members, to really put a lot of our heart and our affection and our devotion into our families. I mean, that's natural. It's a totally natural thing. But there is a danger. There really is a danger of putting people and even things, even animals, like I did, in this place, this high place of our affection, where that place only belongs to Jesus himself. And yeah, these words have really convicted me in the past, especially when it comes to seeking the Lord and praying for issues. It's like I've been, because of the sort of wrong order, how I've been and how I've in the past I'd placed people really above him in my heart and my affections. The way I prayed was really affected by that, and I'd be seeking him for an outcome rather than seeking him simply because of who he is, simply because I just wanted to be with him. And it's really been a lesson to me. It's been, again, it's been part of this pruning, how the Lord has had to really sort of mould me and shape me and chop things away in my life because they weren't beneficial. I've been reading Song of Songs again recently, especially in the Passion Translation, and it's just the most beautiful, isn't it? The most beautiful story of the Shulamite bride and how she starts off, and she's initially a bit like Martha, you know. She's not really that sure of herself. She's not sure about how much her beloved loves her. She's just a little bit insecure, I think. You know, like probably like all of us way back, you know, when we began our journey with the Lord, and he had to help us, and he had to just reveal things in our lives that actually weren't honouring him. And I was particularly these words in Song of Songs 2, verse 15. These caught my attention. It says, "You must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship, for they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together." And I can see that has been the case. That's what he's been doing in my life, and I'm sure with you all as well. how he highlights things that are in our life, in our relationship with him, that they're actually in, you know, they're troublesome, and they're bringing distraction and taking our gaze off him. And I love how it says we will do it together, and that's exactly what he does. He doesn't leave us to our own devices. He doesn't expect us to change on our own, because he's the one who's transforming us into his image. So just looking back and just continuing my journey, in 2012, it was after the horses, the season of the horses came to an end, and I found the Lord was waking me up in the night, always 4 o'clock in the morning, and he would be calling me to just go and be with him. So I'd go downstairs and I'd get my Bible out, and I experienced for the first time his actual tangible manifest presence, and I would just be sitting downstairs, and this beautiful weight of his presence would come, and I would simply bask. I would just rest in that place, because a lot of the time I just cried, because this, you know, this was him coming to actually be with me and making himself very, very physically present. And then it began from there, and then there'd be times in the day when I was busy doing things in the home, and then I would just hear his voice just saying, come and be with me. I'd be doing a job and I'd hear him say, come and be with me. So I began to learn to be obedient to that, and the fact that he simply wanted me to be with him, not because, you know, not because there was an agenda. He just simply loves that relationship with us, and he wants to cultivate that. He wants us to grow deeper and deeper in love with him. Yeah, I just love this wonderful heart that he has, because he knows us so well. He knows us so clearly. He knows what distracts us. He knows what pulls us away from him. And when he says in that first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength, he knows, because that's how he created us. This is how we're supposed to live our lives. He's not saying this to be, you know, a tyrant of a God who's, you know, selfishly demanding our time and our affection. He's doing this because he yearns for a relationship with us, and he knows how he created us. He knows how we're made, and he knows that only in this place of total devotion to him will we know our peace. Will we be able to operate? It says in Psalm 16, verse 4, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. And it's so true, because when we do get distracted, when we do put all our time and energy and thoughts and affections into anything other than him, so our sorrows do increase, because we're not aligned with him. Our hearts aren't aligned with him. And it, you know, things don't fall into place. We just don't have that beautiful peace that comes from making him Lord of all. In Colossians 3, verse 2, it says, set your eyes on things above and not things of the earth. So many things that we read in the word that are calling us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So many times we're sort of exhorted to focus on him, to seek his face. John the Baptist said, When he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he said it twice. Behold. Behold means to actually, you know, to fix your gaze. Actually fix your gaze on someone. So we need to fix our gaze on Jesus. You know, for constantly. This is what abiding looks like. And we can't do this without his help, without Holy Spirit's help. It's all part of this beautiful process of him forming us into his bride. So I just thought I'd just share some of my thoughts as I look back on my journey and looking at Mary and Martha and how I really identify and relate to Martha and how she was. But it was that part of her journey, and no doubt she would have become more like her sister, sitting at the feet of Jesus and gazing at him. So what I thought would be lovely now to do is just to stay in that place, and just being like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus. For each one of us just to come into that place at his feet, just to lay everything down, lay down all the busyness, all the things that we're going to be doing today. Don't think about lunch. Just sit at his feet. Get your gaze fixed on his beautiful face. And then I'm going to go into a little time of worship. And I really, really pray that this will bless you and really deepen, just deepen your love for him, and just receive his love for you as well. Oh Father, we just thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for who you are. We just give you all the glory. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you, Lord, that you have wooed us from way, way back, from the very beginning. You have plans for us, Lord, but your heart's desire is that you would be our heart's desire. And Lord, we just say yes to you. And we ask your forgiveness, Lord, for times when we haven't put you first, when we have sought other things and other distractions instead of you. And Lord, we just yield and surrender our hearts and our lives to you. Lord, that you would just take us deeper and cause us to be so on fire and passionately in love with you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You lead us, Holy Spirit. We so welcome your presence. We so welcome that you are with us, you are within us. You are constantly reminding us about Jesus. You are constantly drawing our attention to him. Lord, just keep that fire aflame for Jesus, the lover of our souls. We ask in his precious name. Thank you, Lord. Let's hope I've got a voice.
Take me into the realm of your presence. Take me into the realm of your grace. Take me into the realm of your spirit. How I long to see your face. Take me into the realm of your presence. Take me into the realm of your grace. Take me into the realm of your spirit. How I long presence. Take me into the realm of your grace. Take me into the realm of your spirit. How I long to see your face. How I long to see your face. Jesus, you are my desire. Spirit, fan the flame within me. Spirit, set my heart on fire for Jesus.
Precious King.
Thank you, Lord, that's the cry of our heart. Our heart is yours. Lord, you paid for us with your precious blood. Our heart belongs to you, our lives belong to you. It is no longer we who live, but you who live in us. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You said you didn't leave us as orphans, and you didn't. Lord, you've poured out your love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are constantly aware of your presence. And those times that we're not, Lord, just prompt us. Just give us a little nudge and draw us. Just keep drawing us deeper and deeper into your presence. Cause us to abide with you and in you moment by moment. Lord, we just want to say that we love you. We love you. We love that you have such a perfect plan for our lives and our hearts. So Lord, we just yield to you again. We surrender all that we are to you. We surrender our hearts and everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.